God, just give me some reception.
Mic check 1, 2.
How many times have you felt like your brain is not getting you reception? Well, that's what this show is all about. Welcome to Powered by Brain Tech. On today's show, we're going to be looking at what causes the symptoms of ADHD. Why do we feel mentally fatigued in our most productive hours? What can be done about it? Kick back, let's have fun with a part one of a two-part series on mental fatigue and hyperactivity. Are you ready? Let's go. The parents of little Johnny had kept him home from school to visit the doctor. He's been complaining of an upset stomach, sluggish, not paying attention in class, hyperactive at home, and at school he's having temper outbursts quite frequently. The doctor's appointment is at 9 a.m. They're running late, so Johnny skips his normal breakfast, settling instead for a banana as they rush off to the doctor. The doctor completes his standard opening examination by checking Johnny's temperature, vital signs including blood pressure, and decides everything is normal. A brief conversation with mom and child turns up nothing earth-shattering. Based upon the preliminary data, there's nothing medically wrong. However, it is recommended a good one-a-day vitamin with iron and a sleep routine of getting to bed at a regularly scheduled time that will allow him to unwind, free of action shows and action video games. Dad and mom followed this regimen for about 3 weeks, hoping to see results. The results were discouraging. The swings were great, going from obstinate behavior to sleeping in class. Little Johnny's education continued to suffer. Johnny's parents had heard about our brain entrainment program and how our video game format has helped other students improve grades and improve behavior. They called us and scheduled an appointment. At the initial appointment, I pulled a brain map. I noticed the right frontal lobes were functioning at a much higher rate than the left frontal lobes. I also noticed patterns that indicate a lack of proper sleep. Breaks in behavioral pathways indicated hyperactivity leading to frustration, which is common to ADHD. When you see these two markers combined, with our behavioral survey usually indicate the problems can be resolved with entrainment and diet correction. I asked Johnny's mother if Johnny woke up peaceful, resting in the morning, or if he seemed a little stressed and grumpy. She thought of his sleep was fine, but he usually woke up grumpy and functioned at a slower pace. When a child is unable to enjoy a quality night's sleep, there's an obvious effect on mood, stress levels, ability to process thoughts, and nervous system functions. It may cause them to feel weak and physically run down, lethargic, and often mildly depressed. When an adult has these feelings, they're able to make intelligent changes in their lifestyle. They can go see the doctor, or they can change their diet. A child, on the other hand, will proceed through their day either succumbing to the feelings of irritation, grumpy, or inattentive behaviors. It's important for the teachers, school nurse, and the parents to notice these signs because left untreated, it can lead to an inordinate amount of stress on the child, and that can lead the child or cause the child to act out. I then ask if Johnny complained about a nervous stomach or the dizzy feelings, and if so, when? His mother said just the previous day. I then followed with these questions. What time did he go to bed the night before he had the tummy issues or feeling dizzy? What time was his mood and what attitude right before he went to bed? How long did it take him to go to sleep? Does he have nightmares? Describe the mood that he was in when you woke him up for school. Did he eat breakfast? What did he eat for breakfast? Describe his mood before breakfast. Did he complete his meal? Describe his mood leaving the house and on the ride to school. I got the following information. Little Johnny reluctantly wakes up at 7 a.m. to get ready for school. Mom helps him get dressed and leads him into the bathroom and into the kitchen for breakfast. Mom has fixed his favorite cereal, toast and jam, and orange juice. For Mom, it is quick, it's easy, and for little Johnny, he has no problem wolfing down his breakfast. Here's the reality. The bowl of cereal contains about 5 teaspoons of sugar per serving. His toast is covered with butter and jam, another 5 teaspoons of sugar. Now, his orange juice, which is pure carbohydrates, is digested into simple sugar after he's consumed it. What happens next is no surprise. Within minutes, his entire breakfast rushes into his bloodstream in the form of glucose, unimpeded by slower digestings of the proteins and fats. Remember, the brain is fueled by glucose, oxygen, amino acids, proteins. This breakfast is nutrient deprived. Well, how about glucose? The brain needs it, right? I can't deny that fact. But keep this in mind. The best type of glucose is derived from natural sugars, not processed. Now, what does these 15 to 17 teaspoons of sugar at one sitting do for little Johnny? Little Johnny is so overtaxed by the sugar high that it affects his breathing and oxygen intake. Once more for impact, what does such an overdose of sugar do for little Johnny? He is so overtaxed by the sugar high that it has a negative effect on his breathing and oxygen intake. His adrenal glands are pumping and the adrenaline is pumping, and he is in the state of fight or flight within just a few short hours. Now, little Johnny's off to school, overdosed on processed sugar. Such an overdose is dangerous and can even burn the brain. The pancreas is trying to balance by dumping insulin into the bloodstream to remove the excess sugars before they can burn the brain. If the pancreas is successful, the excess sugar is pulled out of the bloodstream and rerouted into the liver. When the liver is full, the excess sugar is stored as fat. A future consideration here would be to watch for childhood diabetes. Just as quickly as the internal trauma started, it has gone from overdose to adrenaline high, fight or flight, and now we experience the downer. Going from sugar overdose, the pancreas insulin responded with exaggerated, so Johnny's blood sugar plunges. Usually blood sugar levels are too low after such an insulin response, which causes the brain to panic. For little Johnny, the chemical activity going on inside of his body and his brain have him experiencing a variety of situations such as lightheadedness, dizziness, nervous stomach, and nervous tension. This state brings about a variety of other key problems such as auditory, visual, and cognitive processing difficulties. Although this is a story about a child, the same problem happens in the lives of adults daily. Once you understand the brain activity and the bodily response that little Johnny experienced, you'll be able to apply the same principle to yourself and your own child. Productivity is important to a child in school or in a corporate executive office, and for that matter, anyone who may complain of similar cognitive mental distress such as little Johnny was going through. How did we resolve this issue for little Johnny and his family? Fortunately for little Johnny, he gets out of school at noon. But when he gets home, little Johnny drops into an overstuffed chair, tosses a blank stare at the wall, the door, the TV, and he still hasn't recovered from the morning excitement. From time to time, his adrenal glands activate to try to bring some order to his body. His sugar is still too low. His adrenal glands give him a short burst of adrenaline and cortisol into the bloodstream in an attempt to raise the blood sugar. Of course, this extra cortisol and adrenaline makes him hyperactive, and it could cause damage into the hippocampus, the gatekeeper to memory and learning. His body has been trying to correct itself all day, but he's a pawn in a chemical imbalance brought about by a careless diet. Throughout the day, little Johnny has experienced many uncomfortable emotions, physical adjustments, and mental instabilities. To his teacher, parents, and daycare providers, he has been a hyperactive, obstinate, and challenging young man. This imbalance interrupts his sleep as well as his waking periods. His dad and mom are usually at wit's end by the time they enter my office to discuss the problems of ADHD and ADD issues and the child's refusal to sleep when their child goes to bed. This problem is not limited to children. It's one of the greatest problems we have today. The difference is, as adults, we know that when we've overdid it, we are careful that we can avoid the unpleasant experience in the future. Children, on the other hand, love the sugars, the sweets, and the goo. Children don't understand those mental swings. Now, let's be clear that not all ADD, ADHD, and ODD, and OCD can be resolved by correcting diet. However, it is fair to check for the root of the problem first, to be properly tested. If it is diet, I'd rather clean up the diet than to drug the child. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate you tuning in. Join us tomorrow so we can wrap this thing up. If you've got any questions or comments, feel free to email us at drmainus@braintech.org. Look forward to seeing you here tomorrow. Have a great one.